So I think I've talked long enough. What I'd like to do now is open it up to questions and answers. Or questions. I don't know that I can give you answers. Okay. But let you ask what you're thinking about and what you think is important. So if you want to write things down, you can. If you want to just raise your hand, you can do that too. Okay, so she's asking, how do you jumpstart Buddhism, or how do you get instant Buddhism? Yeah. How do you achieve the optimal effect by giving the least amount of energy? The true capitalist, isn't it? Okay. First, I'm going to tell you, Buddhism is not quick, cheap, and easy. Okay. Maybe it's cheap, but it's not quick and it's not easy. Actually, Buddhism is quite easy. It's our mind that makes it hard. Yeah, my teacher once said that. The Dharma is quite easy. It's just our obstinate, stubborn mind that makes it difficult. Okay. But how to begin a practice? I would say find a group where you can go and go to teachings regularly. I think it's important. You know, there's many Buddhist centers and many good teachers here in Singapore. And if you find a group or a teacher that you really resonate with, then go and keep learning. Because the more you learn, the more stable your practice is going to be. Okay? So learning is one element to it. Doing a regular daily meditation practice is another element. Because when you learn, you also have to think about what you've learned and practice it. And we can learn lots of things intellectually, but unless we do a daily meditation practice, it becomes very hard to integrate those things in our own hearts and minds and lives. So to do that, we have to keep time out for our quiet reflection time. Now, people always go, I don't have enough time, La. You know, I'm so busy, La. How do I do it? But these people, the very same people who ask that question, always have time to eat. Yeah. They have plenty of time to work. In fact, they often work overtime. They never lack time to talk on the phone and gossip. Yeah. They never lack time for watching television. Okay? So what we have to do is look at what we spend our time on and see if what we're spending our time doing is actually leading us to the success, happiness, and love that we want, or are we really spinning our wheels doing things that aren't really achieving our purpose and making our life meaningful? Okay. And that's a very important thing to really consider. Yeah. And if we decide that our spiritual practice is something important, then we put it as a top priority and we make time for it. So one suggestion I have for people is in your appointment book, you write an appointment with the Buddha. Okay? 7 o'clock every morning, I have an appointment with the Buddha. You always keep your appointment with the Buddha, don't you? You don't stand the Buddha up. Yeah. And if you write it in your appointment book, then if somebody says, oh, I really need you to do this, that, the other thing, you say, I'm sorry, I have an appointment and I cannot break it. And it's the truth. You know? And those other things can wait and the other people can accommodate themselves. No, but your spiritual practice is really important. Because we not only nourish ourselves physically, like I said, we always have time to eat, but we always have to nourish ourselves spiritually. So whether we spend that time meditating, you know, either chanting or visualizing, watching the breath, doing one of the checking meditations on the gradual path to enlightenment, okay? Or whether we spend that time silently reading a Dharma book, or whether we spend that time just contemplating our life and doing a little bit of self-evaluation, checking our actions, making determinations about how we want to be in the future. Yeah? But to make sure we have some quiet time alone every day where we can really think and get in touch with ourselves and become our own friends. And I think if you do that, you're going to be happier, and your family and colleagues are also going to be happier. And especially if you have children and you're complaining that your children never sit still and be quiet, try setting a good example for them. You know? How often do your kids ever see you sitting still and being tranquil and peaceful? Ask yourself that. How often do your kids see you being really peaceful and content? Or are your kids always seeing you as the drill sergeant in the army who's in a hurry saying, okay, time to get up, wash behind your ears, go brush your teeth, you're late again, come on, get in the car, we have to go to school. Did you do your homework? You didn't do your homework yet. No TV, turn off that computer. You know, all you do is give, you know, really, like a drill sergeant to your kids. Okay? But how many times do your kids see you being happy and peaceful? And how often do you set an example for your kids of talking politely and of being considerate? Okay? So if you have that time each day to be, you know, to do some spiritual work where you don't feel rushed or pressured and you can be somewhat introspective, then, you know, everybody around you is going to benefit. And yourself, too. Okay, so that's another element of jump-starting Buddhism. Okay? And a third element that I think is very important is to have a very long-term perspective. If you're thinking that, you know, if you're practicing the Dharma as kind of a fad, you know, oh, I'm going to practice it now and see if it makes me feel better, you're not going to be able to sustain a practice over a long period of time. So that's why we say it's very important to have a long-term motivation of love and compassion and altruism, and a long-term motivation of really wanting to actualize our potential, our spiritual potential. You know, purify our mind, develop our good qualities, for the benefit of all beings, and to make a commitment to do that over the long haul, over a long time. So whether we're happy or whether we're miserable, we're still committed to improving ourselves and purifying our mind and developing our good qualities. Okay? And if you have that strong commitment and you're looking long term, you'll be able to sustain a spiritual practice long term, and that's when, of course, results start to come, is when you can do something long term. Okay? And also having that long term goal gives you the mental stability and mental courage to go through the ups and downs in life. Okay? Whereas if we're very emotional, you know, something nice happens and we're going, yay! And the next day, somebody, you know, gives us a bad face and we go, ooh. And the day after that, somebody gives us $100 and we go, ooh. And the day after that, somebody criticizes us and we go, boo. You know? So instead of being like an emotional yo-yo going up and down, dependent on external people and things, we start to think long-term. You know, my long-term goal is this internal spiritual development. And I'm in it for the long term. Whether I'm happy in the short term or not, happiness is nice, but I'll be content with what I have, who I am, what I do. And I'm working on a really valuable spiritual path. And that, you know, gives you courage and inspiration and joy in your life. Okay? Other questions? Yeah. Okay. So her thoughts are that it's very important to have happiness that comes from external objects. Yeah. And I'm saying, yes, that's nice, but it's not going to bring you real, genuine happiness. Okay? So it's nice to get, but, you know, on the day that you die, when you look back over your life, I don't think you're going to be happy about closing so many deals. No. If we look at our life from the point of view of our own mortality, what are you going to feel happy about having done at the time you die? Okay. So that short-term happiness, it's true, if you close a deal, you get a little zip and it feels good, but it doesn't feel good for a long period of time. And as you age, you don't necessarily look back on that and derive a lot of pleasure out of it. Okay. In fact, sometimes people arrive at the time of death and they look back and they say, wow, all the things that gave me, these short-term bursts of happiness when I was young really weren't very important. And in the meantime, I didn't spend my time cultivating what was important. And sometimes, even in the process of getting the short-term happiness, we create many negative actions. For example, I'm not saying you do this, but some people, in order to close a deal, they lie. Then they feel, oh, so good, I closed the deal, but then later on, they don't feel very good about themselves for lying. Okay? So, it's fine, you can, have your opinion that it's important to have some of the short-term happiness. But I'm just saying, try and, look deeper at our own experience and reflect a little bit more and think about what really is important in your life, especially on the account of if getting the short-term happiness, you have to do things that are harmful to other people. How do you feel about yourself? Okay. Okay, then some questions here. I know I can't quit shopping right away. So what mindset should I have when I go shopping? Well, you're not shopping right now, are you? Are you happy now? Can you be happy without shopping? You're not shopping now. Unless I see you up around the books afterwards. Buying one of everything. Okay, we need to buy certain things and do a certain amount of shopping in our lives. But again, to not make it into a big deal. And when you go shopping, what I suggest is having a list of what you really need and only getting that. Yeah. And try and abandon the mind that says, oh, well, I'll get that and this and this and this and this. Okay? And instead, maybe think of donating some of your money to a charity and see if you can derive just as much pleasure by donating your money to somebody else who really needs it as the pleasure you derive from buying more stuff that you don't really need and can't use. So try and change your mind about, what gives you pleasure in terms of what you do with your money. And train your mind, to feel happy at being able to share. Because actually, we have the fortune to be in such a wealthy country and to have so much wealth compared to the rest of the world because we were generous in previous lives. Yeah, wealth comes from generosity. Wealth doesn't come from stinginess. Okay, so if you remember that, and then you can, give money to various charities, either here or charities abroad. I mean, there's so much suffering in the world, so many people who can use help. Yeah? And let your mind be happy when you can share some of your wealth with them. How to keep ourselves motivated in our spiritual practice? It comes kind of down to what I was answer, replying to her question, if you can practice together with a group, that group energy will really sustain you and help you a lot. If you think about impermanence and what is meaningful in your life, then that gives you a lot of spiritual inspiration. If you contemplate the qualities of the enlightened one and think that we also have the Buddha potential and the possibility to, let's say, develop equanimity towards all beings, free of anger and attachment, we have the potential to develop love and compassion. We have the potential to keep very happy and joyful ethical discipline. We have the potential to realize the nature of reality. So contemplate your own potential and feel happy about that, and feel happy about the qualities of an enlightened one, and let that motivate you. Or if you're doing a regular spiritual practice, let's say, you know, make some requests to the Buddha for inspiration, and for that inspiration that keeps us motivated and on track in our practice. And also, sometimes a little bit of self-discipline helps. Because if we can get ourselves to the cushion, or get ourselves to the Dharma Center, or get ourselves to the retreat, then after we're there, we reap the benefits of it, and that brings happiness, and that's its own payoff. I hear I need to take up my glasses just a minute. Is it possible to be obsessed with purifying our minds and seeking enlightenment and be unhappy when we do not achieve what we want? I guess so. But if we are like that, if we do feel like that, then we're really missing the point of a spiritual practice. Okay? Because a spiritual practice isn't, you know, there's the goal, and I got to get this goal, and I got to get this goal, and I got to get enlightened, you know? I've been practicing Buddhism for 3 months, and I'm not enlightened. And that's, I only gave myself 2 months to do it, and it's already over the deadline. Oh. You know? If we have that kind of attitude, boy, we're shooting ourselves in the foot. We're not going to get anywhere, okay? So we need a certain degree of, you know, self-acceptance and also patience. And really learning to enjoy the process of spiritual practice. Enjoy the process of living instead of getting stuck on the goals that we seek. Other questions? How to keep your heart so open? Continuously reflect on the kindness of others. Yeah? Train yourself. When you're sitting on the MRT, look around and think of all the kindness of all the other people around you. Yeah? When you're sitting on the bus, think of the kindness of the people that you see. When you walk into your office, you know, turning on the computer, was, you know, getting set up, think about the kindness of others. Before you enter your home, when you go home at night, pause at the door and think, I'm going home to the people who are really kind to me, who I care about. Okay? So continuously reflect on the kindness of others. Okay? So how do you be mindful at work, especially in business? I think one element is by developing mindfulness in your daily practice. Because in that way you train yourself to slow down and to be aware of what you're thinking, feeling, saying, and doing. A second thing is to, in the morning before you go to work, cultivate a very strong motivation. Yeah, today as much as possible, I'm not going to harm others. Today as much as possible, I'm going to be of benefit to them. And today I'm really going to hold in my heart this long-term motivation of seeking to fulfill my potential and become an enlightened being for the benefit of all. And if you generate that motivation very strongly in the morning, each morning, every morning, okay, put it on a post-it next to your bed, or put it on the mirror in the bathroom, or on your refrigerator, or on your steering wheel. You know, the more you just habituate yourself with that kind of motivation, then the more it's going to come naturally. And then another thing is to use things that happen frequently throughout your days as little triggers or little signals to help you come back to your motivation and to be mindful. Okay? So it might be the telephone ringing. It might be your child saying mommy or daddy. It might be the red lights as you're driving. It might be something on your computer, you know, that happens regularly throughout the day. Okay, let's just sit quietly for a few minutes. And in this closing meditation, what I'd like you to do is to review what we talked about and think of, you know, three things that really struck you that you want to remember and you want to continue thinking about. Okay, so do a little mental review of the talk and highlight to yourself the things that were important so you can remember them and continue contemplating them afterwards. So we'll just sit and do that for a few minutes.